Father, thank you this morning for this time. I pray that you'll be with us. Help us to learn. Help us to grow in our love for each other and in our holiness before you. We thank you for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen. I think that in our regular lives, we have trouble seeing what's right in front of us. Especially in a time like this, where we're coming into the holiday season, and you know the time in between Thanksgiving and Christmas is always busy. How many went out shopping on Friday? I know, I'm sure, I don't believe that that's all that went out shopping on Friday. I think some don't want to admit it. I did not go. In fact, I posted on my Facebook page that I would not be going out shopping on Friday unless it was at Amazon.com. And I even stayed away from that. So, but you know, after Thanksgiving, you find yourself in what we call the holiday season. And you've got, in fact, this year, we have less than a month until Christmas after Thanksgiving. And it's busy. You've come through plans for Thanksgiving. And those are sometimes busy enough, depending on what you're doing and who you're getting together with. Then you move into thinking about your plans for Christmas. And if you're anything like our family, that becomes more stressful than it's worth sometimes, because you've got my family to get together with, and then Devin's family to get together with. But you can't, you know, so there's two meetings that are going to happen. But even in those two different families, sometimes you can't get together with everyone at one time. So now this one branches off into two, and this one branches off into three. And then you're trying to think, well, let's see, I guess I've got a long weekend because Christmas is on a Friday. But do I really want to drive around all weekend going to see this family and then to that family? So if we don't do this family, can we hit them the next weekend? And so trying to make those plans can be busy enough. But then you want to set out decorations. And then you've got year-end stuff at work to deal with. And then something else happens. And then the kids want to do something extra. And before you know it, it's December 24th and you haven't started your Christmas shopping yet. That is me some years. Not fun years, but some years. And so this time of year, maybe more than anything else, can get in the way of what we're really called to do as Christians, and the busyness of the season causes us, if we're not careful, to lose focus on what's most important, and that is that as God calls us to live out his will among his people, that he calls us to love others. And in the busyness of the holiday season, where everything is a rush, and we rush from here to there, and then we've forgotten some other things, we have to rush back and do it all over again. In that cycle of rushing around, we can tend to forget the people who are most important to us in our lives. Hopefully here, this lesson this morning, something that will remind us of that. Some people, though, we forget to love because some people are difficult to love. And so there's a difference there. I'm trying to highlight a couple things. Sometimes we're too busy to remember people. Sometimes we don't want to remember people because they're difficult to love. We all have people like that in our lives. You know, you go to work and someone's always breathing down your neck about get this report in, get that thing done, take on more responsibility. Joey might feel like that from when he worked with us in the summer. I was constantly driving him to do more and do more. And, you know, sometimes people are difficult to love. How many, you don't have to raise your hand for this, but how many of us in our own families have people that we think, well, if they can't make the Christmas get together, I'm not going to complain. No, we don't want to admit that. None of us want to admit that, but probably in all of our families, there's that one person. You know, they joke about that uncle that you don't really care about if he shows up or not. I guess I do have one of those. He's not going to listen to this sermon. I probably shouldn't have said that. But I'm going to take that back. But, you know, in your family, even if it's not someone that just really bothers you, it's just maybe there's a member of your family that always has to have the plans go according to the way they want them to go. So maybe you've talked to most of the family and you've made plans and you've laid those plans out and everyone's signed on. And then this brother or this sister or this aunt calls you up and says, well, that's not going to work because I was going to do this. And they're willing to pull the rug out from underneath the entire family's plans to suit them. And you think, it's Christmas, so I have to be nice. You know what I'm saying? So even people in our families can be difficult to love, and that difficulty makes it hard for us to carry out what God wants from us. This is why when we come to this passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul's teaching us that we need to prioritize our lives, not around the people in our lives or the activities of our lives that make things more difficult, but we need to prioritize our lives around the return of Jesus. Look at the return, or look at the language that Paul uses in 1 Thessalonians chapter 9, chapter 3, verse 13. He says, "May he strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father," which is good. But then he puts almost like a condition on it. Or not a condition, I guess, as much as a reason for being strengthened in love and holiness, and that is when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. That the primary concern for Paul as he writes to these people is that they would live their lives focused on the fact that Jesus is going to return one day. And it's almost like he's saying, when Jesus returns, what would you like him to find in your life? Would you like him to find a life that's actually so busy at this point that you're in five arguments with siblings, and then you're still trying to get out and do your Christmas shopping, and then Jesus shows up and he wants to know if you've been loving the people in your life that he's given you, and you say, "Jesus, I don't have time for this because I've got to finish this argument with these people." You know, that's what he's trying to get people to frame. And of course, he's not talking about, when he writes this letter, a busy holiday season. I'm talking about that because I think for most of us, or at least for many of us, that's going to be the context that we find ourselves in, at this time at least. That the most difficult thing for us over the next month is going to be trying to keep a focus on doing God's will in our lives, because we're going to run up against an awful lot of busyness. We're going to run up against maybe some family problems or some work problems. We're going to run up against being out Christmas shopping and someone cutting you off in line because they want to check out before you do, and they've got 50 things in a cart and you've got one. And then you're going to be tempted to have an argument with that person. And hopefully when we leave here today, we'll be reminded of what God wants us to do, that he wants us to love those people. So how are we going to do that? Well, he spells it out for us in verses 9 through 10, first of all, by saying that we should be thankful for each other. You know, we typically look at this in terms of loving a person. But may I put out there that loving someone and being thankful for them are actually different things. You know, maybe we can debate that, but I think on one hand, loving people is easier for us to think that we're doing than we're actually doing in practice. To say that we love another person, many of us think that we love our enemies. And there's a way of relating to people that we would classify as an enemy so that we can feel good about ourselves, and because someone like me came along and said, well, the Bible says you got to love your enemies. And so we construct a way in our minds that kind of ignores that person, but we can feel like we're actually loving them because we're not trying to get revenge or do anything bad to them. And so then we can say, well, I love people, or we'll find a way of actually going out and serving someone and saying that we love them. And in many cases we are, but I think being thankful for them is different, because being thankful puts a responsibility back on us to actually reflect on that relationship with a person. To love someone simply finds its way forward in objective action. In the Bible, the word love is not a feeling, it's an action. We love people to the extent that we serve them, or that we minister to them, or that we help them. And we can love a person in that way without spending a whole lot of time on how we actually relate to them. But for us to be thankful for another person is going to require us to sit back and look around us at the cousins who really bothered us this year at the Thanksgiving meal, for whatever reason, and take stock of what it is about their presence in our lives that we're thankful for. What have they done for us? And I don't mean that what have they actively done for us, but what is it about them that we can give thanks for? What is it about them that we can be thankful for? How have they helped us improve our life in some way or another? And this is what Paul's getting at when he says in verses 9 through 10 of chapter 3, how can we thank God enough for you in return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you? See, because of these people, Paul and his friends are experiencing joy And he can't even find a way to give thanks that's proportionate to the amount of joy that they're experiencing. And so he cries out in thanksgiving for these people that he's interacted with in his life. Now for us, the people in our lives will bring us joy at times. They'll bring us resentment at times. They'll bring us a whole range of emotions that runs from joy down to resentment and anger. But can we stop in our busyness, knowing that God calls us to love others more, and can we stop and find a way to be thankful for the people in our lives so that we can actually move forward to truly love them? Not just in some way that we can say we love them, but truly loving them with the love of Christ that's within us, but that's going to start when we find a way to be thankful for them. Because being thankful for them undercuts any resentment that we might have or any anger that we might have towards a person. Maybe not overnight. Maybe not over the course of a year. But trying to be thankful for people in our lives eventually will wear down any ill feelings we have towards them. And then we can truly love, not just in an action that's good for them but might be empty for us, but in true action that actually comes out of the love of Christ that's within us. So that's how we can start, by being thankful for each other. In verse 12, Paul gives us another way that we can remember to love others. And he says, rely on God to help you grow in your love for each other. In verse 12, he says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other and for everyone else, just as ours does for you. Now notice that he doesn't just throw out a command like we might often do if it was us writing a letter, or, you know, many preachers, and I try not to do this, but sometimes preachers will stand up and just throw out a command like, you need to increase. Bible says you need to increase in your love for others. Well, that's true, but notice that Paul didn't phrase it like that. Paul didn't write these Christians and say, grow in your love for each other. You notice what Paul says in verse 12? He says, may the Lord make your love increase and overflow for each other. The only way that we're going to be able to truly grow in our love and appreciation of each other is by relying on God to build and grow that love within us, which means we need to be open to God. You know, if we think that we can go along in life on our own, deciding who we're going to love and how we're going to love that person, who we're going to be thankful for and why that person doesn't deserve for us to be thankful for them, we're never going to reach the goal that God calls us to. We're only going to reach that goal when we give ourselves over to God. When we reach out to the love of God that He has within us and follow that in obedience. That's why Paul says, may the Lord increase and grow your love for each other. Because he knows that on our own, we can only go so far. You know, sometimes you hear encounters that people have, and they'll describe how they really tried for a long period of time to love a person who they felt was very unlovable. And they tried hard, and they kept trying because they could never fully feel like they had arrived. But suddenly, something happened, caused the dam to break, and now they just overflowed with love for that person. The only way that happens is by God. And Paul recognizes this, and then he challenges us to rely on God to grow in love for each other. See, this is why I love actually reading the Bible, because for us to say we need to grow in love for others puts a lot of responsibility on us. And then even more so when we feel like God's saying through His Word, you need to love others more. And when I was younger and I'd go home and hear some of this stuff and think, how in the world am I ever going to do this? But then when we actually read the Bible as opposed to what someone's just saying about the Bible, we see that God, when He tells us to do something, never leaves us alone to do it. He never just sends us out with no resources to actually do it. So when He tells us that we need to grow and increase our love for others, He's going to help us do that. So those people in your lives, and those people in my life who maybe I'm having a hard time loving, and maybe you're having a hard time loving or being thankful for, rely on God to help you do that. Stop looking at your own energy and ability or non-ability to do that. And instead look to God, who is the true source of love, and let Him lead you into what He wants you to do. Rely on Him to grow in love for each other. And then Paul also talks about that they need to grow in holiness. But again, he says, rely on God to grow in holiness. Look at verse 13 again. He's already said in verse 12, may the Lord make your love increase. Now he says in verse 13, may He strengthen your hearts so that you will be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when the Lord Jesus comes. You notice what he's saying there again. He's not saying, make sure that you do everything and it's all up to you. It's all on you and you need to do everything so that you're blameless and holy when Jesus comes back. Paul prays, may God strengthen you in your heart for you to become more holy. Even these spiritual ideals that we're called to, holiness, being blameless, things that we can't do on our own. And Paul says, rely on God to help you with these things. This holiday season, as we're talking about loving others and reflecting on how we can love others more, and Paul reminds us to be thankful for each other, to grow in our love for each other, but rely on God to help us, and to grow in holiness, but again, to rely on God to help us with that. The context for that is the return of Jesus. You know, these are not, and this is a real significant way that Christianity differs from a lot of moral systems out there, or even other religions. And that is that there is an end game in sight for Christianity. It's not an empty, vague way of imparting moral behavior to another person in a way that just says, well, you need to live better, you need to do more, and you need to love this person. But all of that behavioral instruction is in the context of Jesus returning. God has a lot at stake in our spiritual growth. God has a lot at stake in our love for others. Because He is trying to shape His people and build and form His people so that when Jesus returns, He has His blameless and holy people to take home with Him. This is the context by which Paul says all of this. He doesn't want them to love each other more, and he doesn't want them to be thankful for each other just so they feel good about themselves and the world works well. He wants them to do that because they're becoming more like Christ, who is actually on plan to come back to take His people home. In that context, loving others takes on a different motive. We don't love others because that's just the moral thing to do. We love others because loving others makes us more like Christ. Being thankful for others makes us more like Jesus. And that's our goal. This holiday season, may we try to find an antidote for busyness and lack of loving and lack of thankfulness by remembering Jesus and by loving another person. I was talking to Devin about the sermon this week, and she pointed out that there's a lot of small ways that we can try to connect with another person to be thankful for them or to show them that we love them. She pointed out that many meaningful conversations happen with people in as little time as even 5 minutes. See, you never know how you're going to impact someone. And if we fool ourselves into thinking that I have to have an entire evening set aside to have someone over to prepare a huge meal to show them that I love them, so I can be thankful for them, so I can grow in holiness by loving them, we may find ourselves more frustrated than not. Sometimes we can accomplish the same good that we think would take an evening in a 5-minute conversation, or in a 20-minute cup of coffee, or in a 10-minute phone call. But we're called to love others more and to grow in holiness. We grow in holiness to the degree that we actually love other people. And we can love other people by being thankful for them and by looking for ways that we can remember them, remember Jesus, by looking for ways that we can love another person. Sometimes we have to look for a way to love another person. Sometimes it's not right out in front of us. Some people, you have to look real hard to find a way to love them. But that's the reality. Thank goodness that Jesus didn't get up to the point of the cross and then say, well, I don't really feel like loving some people that I would have loved if I go through with this, so they're out. Can you imagine if he had done that? If Jesus on the cross had said, well, I know how some people are going to be in the year 2009, so they're out, and this doesn't count for them. But he didn't. He loved everyone, and he calls us to do the same. So for us to be like Christ, our mission needs to be to love those that we come in contact with. That's what it means to be like Christ. Being like Christ means to be like Christ. I pray that this month, I know it's busy for everyone, but I pray that we will all find a way to keep our focus and our emphasis on Jesus, on the spiritual growth that we can find in Him, that we need to find in Him, on the love that we need to have for others that will come from Him, and the patience that sometimes we need for that, and the thankfulness that we need for that as well. But I pray above all and encourage you to find a way to keep Jesus central to your life. And not, I mean, let's start this season. For most of us, things dial down about January 3rd, maybe the 4th. I know there's a big football game on the 3rd, so maybe the 4th. But when your life starts dialing down, you know, it's easier to find a way to do these things. I had a college professor, and I'll close on this. I had a college professor when we were in the Bible department tell us that if you can't find a way to maintain spiritual disciplines like prayer and Bible reading and journaling and so on while you're in school, you're never going to do it because it's never going to get easier. Because see, sometimes we think, well, we're slammed with classes and then homework and this and that. And he's telling us, if you're making an excuse now, you're always going to have an excuse. If we make an excuse now to love other people, to remember Jesus, to grow in holiness, if we make an excuse now to say, well, I'm too busy, I don't have the time, that person's not lovable. If we make that excuse now, we're going to keep making that excuse on January 4th, on August 2nd, on October 15th, and then suddenly we'll be right back here this time next year feeling like we haven't gone anywhere. We can't control everything in our life, but we can control what we focus on. God calls us to focus on Him, to be thankful for the people in our life, to love the people in our life, and to grow in holiness by excelling in love for others. I encourage you to take that approach this holiday season, to keep your emphasis on others, and by doing that, keeping your true emphasis on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time that you've given to us. I pray that we would be focused on Jesus at this time, that you would help us to remember him, to be thankful for all that he's done for us, and that would cause us to look out with more compassion and patience to the people who are in our lives. Father, I pray that you will help us to be loving, to be thankful, and to be pursuing holiness by the way that we treat other people. We thank you so much for Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.